The Electric Company's public information program brings you your Better Living Radio Theater in its salute to the American home, its family, and its way of life in this bright American future. Tubes in your radio, the power behind this station which brings you this program, the nightlight at your child's bedside, the giant motors that drive the machines to mold our steel and power your production lines, the current that pops your family toaster, foods, aircraft, railroads, automobiles, and ships. Electricity always at hand, day or night, with its economy for lower costs to you, with rising efficiency through its own research, with its growth to match the nation's needs at all times. The electric industry strives day and night to bring you better living. This is your narrator, Wendell Niles. And now your Better Living Radio Theater brings you the story, A Million Words, A Million Songs. A dramatic account of the tremendous growth of radio and the phonograph and their impact on our lives. This is the first in a series of broadcasts at this time to show you how Americans in a free nation have worked to bring you better living today. In fact, the highest standard of living in the world. Later you will hear from today's guest, Mr. Gwillin A. Price, president of Westinghouse Electric Corporation. Today you depend on the radio for the latest news, fine music of every type, comedy and dramatic entertainment, and information on all aspects of the world. Your phonograph, like your radio, plugs into that little socket there instantly, effortlessly. What were the radio and the phonograph like in the old days? What have the electronics industry and the electric companies contributed to your joy of living? Come back with me more than 30 years to a small American city. Like any small city, North Haven has its music teacher who teaches piano, violin, singing, snare drum, and cello.
That's right, Effie. You practice your cello every day and remember the recital next spring. Now tell Mama you're doing right well. See you next Tuesday, same time. That child's going to drive me crazy.
What's wrong, Mr. Keller?
Oh, she's too fat, Philip. Weighs 160 pounds. She can't get her arms around to play the cello.
Maybe you ought to tell her not to play it.
Oh, her mama would scalp me. Besides, Philip, when you get to my stage in life, you have to earn a dollar any way you can. Now, we'd better get on with your lesson. Where'd I put it? Flute and 10 easy lessons? No, that's not it. Clarinet book for advanced students. Nope.
But, Mr. Keller, I don't use a book for piano.
Now, Philip, you think I've lost my wits again. I know who you are. I know what you play. I know you're my best student, and I know you aren't going to play the piano today.
I'm not?
I've got something for you to listen to. A brand new record of a French pianist playing Debussy.
Who?
Debussy, a great composer, Philip. Though people don't think much of him yet. They will. Now, here's the record. I want you to listen to it over and over. It's wonderful music, Philip. And I want you to listen to this man play it. Because you'll play it even better someday. Crank up the phonograph while I put it on, will you?
When Thomas Edison invented a talking machine, he saw very little future for it except as a toy. Later, he thought it might be useful in business for recording dictation. This was after others had slowly and painfully improved the earlier machine. After they had developed a flat disc recording, similar in shape to that we know today. After they had developed a method of making many copies of one master record. In the first 20 years of this century, the phonograph, the graphophone, it went by these and many other names, was the sole way in which the music of minstrels and of masters was reproduced in American homes. It inspired many a young musician like Phil to greater efforts.
Phil? Phil, here I am over here.
Hello, Karen.
Welcome home.
Thanks. Where's your father?
Where is he always? Home giving a lesson. You look terribly tired.
Music school gets harder and harder every year, Karen. I'm worn out.
Well, you've a whole summer to rest in, and then just one more year.
And then what? A job playing the organ in a movie house?
Oh, Phil. Phil, you're not serious.
Maybe I am. Let's leave these bags at my house. Then I want to see your father.
Oh, now, see here, Philip. Karen's right. You're tired. I know how it is. I get tired myself being with music all day. You're not giving up your piano. Why, you can't. You've worked too hard.
I've worked hard for 3 years, and a good many years before that, Mr. Keller. But now I know. I'm not good enough to be a top pianist.
You're giving up too easily.
You gave up? Why aren't you giving concerts in a big hall instead of teaching all kinds of kids in a living room?
Phil. Phil, you shouldn't have said that. You hurt him.
Karen, it's all right.
I'm sorry, very sorry, Mr. Keller.
No, my boy, don't be sorry. You're right, I gave up, but I had to. Karen's mother died when she was born. But I know this, if you give up music now, you'll regret it, because it's born in you, and you can never get away from it. That's why I teach the tone deaf, the people with two left hands, little fat girls who want to play the cello, but somehow they still want music. And I'll see they get as much as they can get.
With the introduction of the electric motor, the phonograph brought music to the home as fast as the power lines could reach into town and village, into the farm, far from concert halls and auditoriums. Here was music, great music, popular music, as easily at hand as man had ever known it. The names of Paderewski, Kreisler, Caruso, and Kubelik were household terms, thanks to the phonograph. Then suddenly, the phonograph and record business was faced with a new rival.
The radio, Filma boy. I suppose you do quite a lot of listening on your set at home in the evenings.
As a matter of fact, Mr. Masters, my mother won't allow a radio set in the house.
She won't?
She says she won't have those evil-smelling batteries in our house, not even in the kitchen. However, after I get through at Dad's office, I go over to the neighbors and listen.
What do you hear?
Oh, I began a couple of years ago when all you could get was KDKA in Pittsburgh. Then we could get Coon Sanders Nighthawks out in Kansas City. Uh-huh. Now there's a lot you can listen to. The Ipana Troubadours, the A&P Gypsies, and Mary Garden in Chicago.
I thought you'd given up music.
I don't play anymore. I just listen. It's fun to play around with a novelty.
Oh, you think it's a novelty?
Well, yes.
Let me show you something. Have you seen a set like this one here on my desk?
It looks like most of the others. What's so different?
Look, where are the batteries? This runs on the electric light circuit, Phil. Here, just plug it in and turn it on.
Say, I'll have to tell Mother about this.
Phil, there are millions more, just like your mother. They've held off buying a radio set till it can be plugged in, till the set gets simpler. I've been watching things, Phil. There are a lot of new broadcasting stations going up, and I'm going to have one myself.
Right here? In North Haven?
I have the license already. Now I have to get a microphone and a couple of other things. And with somebody to help me, I am in business.
What are you going to broadcast?
Ooh, news, farm reports, records, and local talent. That's where I want you to come in. I was talking to your dad, and he thought maybe you'd come over and play the piano sometimes and talk about music.
He knows I'm not in music anymore.
But, Phil, everybody around here knows you're the best musician the town has.
You'll have to count me out, Mr. Masters. But why don't you try Fred Keller?
I thought you said that you and he had parting of the ways.
No. I just haven't seen him or Karen in 3 years. Try him. But don't ever tell him or Karen I made this suggestion.
On Christmas Eve, 1907, a brilliant Canadian, Reginald Fessenden, frightened a few ship's operators out of their wits by actually broadcasting the sound of the human voice. More than one newspaper man was almost fired for reporting the event. But in the early 20s, radio suddenly boomed when Harding's election as president was broadcast, and when another daring radio pioneer broadcast the Dempsey-Firpo fight. In September 1921, there were four stations on the air. By the end of 1922, the unbelievable number of 528. By the end of 1926, there were more than 700. With the development of the home electric-powered receiver, radio had zoomed past the record business as America's favorite home entertainment.
Karen! Karen!
What is it, Father?
It's almost 9 o'clock.
I know. Please lie back and rest. You know what the doctor said.
But I want the radio turned on. I want to hear what Mr. Masters are going to put on in place of my program.
The doctor said you ought not to listen. Now, don't worry. You'll be all right. You haven't missed a program in 3 years. You'll be back next week.
That's a lie, and you know it.
Well, a month, perhaps.
Well, I'm not even going to wait for somebody to tell me tomorrow what went on at 9 tonight. Turn on that radio, or I'll get off this couch and do it myself.
Well, the doctor said you oughtn't, but not you mustn't. Listen.
Say, I know that record. Where have I heard it?
Please, Father, lie back.
Good evening, everyone. I want you to know that your friend, Fred Keller, is resting comfortably tonight. I was there myself a short while ago.
Oh, who's that doggone liar?
Shh, be quiet.
You see, I used to be a pupil of Mr. Keller's, and I know what he's meant to this city. To those of us who have studied with him, to those of us who have heard this broadcast.
I know that voice. Why, it's Phil.
Yes, Phil.
He was here. You gave him that record.
Yes.
I think he's the finest musician I know, because he's made music live for so many of us. But he's gone beyond that. He's made music live before its time. You know how he hailed Gershwin before Gershwin was widely popular. I can go back further than that. The record you just heard now was by a composer who's just now being hailed as one of the greats in serious music. Fred Keller played that for me and predicted his acceptance. And tonight, I'm going to play some more of his wonderful collection and tell you about them.
It was to be sometime after this, after Phil and Karen were married, that the record industry made its great comeback, thanks to radio itself and to the electronics industry. In many an American home, the simple act of plugging a cord into an electric outlet means that both radio and phonograph are connected, bringing at any hour of any day more music, more entertainment, more enlightenment to more people than ever before in mankind's history. You're listening to a transcription now. And now may I present today's guest of Better Living Radio Theater, Mr. Gwilyn A. Price, President of Westinghouse Electric Corporation.
Radio still is an amazing triumph of science, workman skill, and human enterprise. This makes a particularly close bond between radio and good, dependable electric power. There can be little doubt that each of these modern miracles in the past half century has been a tremendous factor in changing the world we live in and in advancing our standard of living. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Price. You have been listening to Mr. Gwilyn A. Price, President of Westinghouse Electric Corporation. Mr. Price was today's guest on Better Living Radio Theater, which has brought you the story, A Million Words, A Million Songs. The first in a series of broadcasts at this time, presented by this station and the Electric Company's Public Information Program. Now this is your narrator, Wendell Niles, inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when your Better Living Radio Theater will present George Washington's Gingerbread Man, the dramatic story of Christopher Ludwig, the first Baker General of the American Army. Till then, this is Wendell Niles wishing you better living.